congregation the text for this special service, preparatory sermon, is from John 6, the verses 66 through 68. John 6, the verses 66 through 68, where we read as follows, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So far. Less disciples than before. Two thoughts. Why many disciples left? And secondly, why other disciples stayed? So less disciples than before. Two thoughts. Why many disciples left? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And secondly, why other disciples stayed? Jesus asked, Will you also go away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? That is the words of eternal life. Congregation, many disciples followed the Lord Jesus, thousands of them. And were enthusiastic about it and touched in their hearts, and many left eventually. This is a hard saying, they said in this chapter. This is so hard, a hard saying. Who can hear this? And many left. That's already a warning that some people are following the Lord Jesus, seeking him, touched by him, seeing something valuable in him, and have no true faith. It's possible that we are seeking Jesus for the wrong reasons, seeking Jesus without belief, without true faith, without a broken heart. This is a hard saying. Of course, I studied this chapter and always thought the word hard meant difficult. That's not true. They don't say this is too difficult to hear. They said this is a hard thing. This is harsh. This is rough. This is stern. This is offensive. I don't like it. I hate it. I resist it. I think this is intolerable. I have a problem with this. I'm offended. This is a hard, offensive saying. Who can hear this? So the Lord Jesus apparently did not try to please the people. He spoke the word of the living God. So now you would like to know what turned them off. What was so offensive to them was something in this sermon that irritated them. And they left it. It's enough. I can't handle this anymore. I can't swallow this any longer. I'm leaving. Sorry. I go. Why is that? What happened? What did he say, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, at least three things we hope to see. The Lord Jesus show them that he knows the hearts. He knows it's within them. And he judged them. He said, you. And he pointed the finger to them and he said, you follow me for the wrong reasons. You don't believe me. He knows the hearts. And that turned many of them off, that the Lord Jesus was judging them. Keep it in mind. You'll see it later on. Judging. What else do we see? See, prepared. The Lord Jesus pointed out his unique place and said so clearly there was only one way back to God, and it is by him. Exclusively by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. People need to eat him and to drink him. There is no other way of salvation but by him. And the people said, that's offensive. That's stern. Something I can't swallow. Only by him. Who does he think he is? And then in the third place, not only judging them, a unique place of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also Lord Jesus explained to them his sovereignty, that nobody can come unto him but by when he is drawn by the Spirit. That inability and God's freedom to save people he wants to, oh, they rebelled against that. Who can hear this? We are upset about that. So now prepared. Listen for those three things. Judging them, the unique place of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sovereignty and freedom in saving who he wants to. So I see many following the Lord Jesus, and they were serious about that. I'll show you. If you go back to verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come to the world. See that? For sure, we are absolutely certain this is him. This is the prophet promised in the Old Testament who would come. They're convinced about him being the prophet, the promised prophet. See, of a truth. You would say that's deep in the hearts. They're really serious about those things. Or think it was 15. Then Jesus therefore perceived that he would come and take him by force, make him a king. He departed again to mount himself alone. So far it went, they said, we're going to crown him, going to make him king among us. We're committed to follow him. He would deliver them and be of an asset to them. So there was a bond between the people and the Lord Jesus. They highly esteemed him. They followed him. They're committed to serve him. See that? So the people even forgot their bread one time. They traveled kilometers and kilometers and over the Lake of Galilee to follow him. They did their utmost. They wanted to see him. They wanted to hear him. Wanted to be close to him. But the Lord Jesus knew their hearts. And slowly but certainly, the Lord Jesus begins to make it clear who he came, what he came for, and they became offended. For example, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, amen, amen, this is so true, this is so true. I say unto you, ye seek me, yes, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves, were filled. You followed me for the bread, to have a cheap meal, for outer things of this life. You're following me for outer things, for temporary things, not for the soul. Do you need the Lord for your problems in this life? Is it good enough for that? And you pray seriously, Lord, thou knowest me, thou knowest the circumstances. I plead with thee, Lord, help me, help me, help me. You're following and praying and reading the Bible, going to church. It's all about your health. It's all about your problems. It's all about here below. You're missing the point. Following the Lord Jesus for outer things. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, to him that God the Father sealed. Well, they listened to that. And they heard that saying, don't follow me for the meat that perisheth, follow me for eternal life. And they were offended by that. Who can hear this? Or think of verse 28. Then said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Do you hear that? What shall we do? That we might work the works of God. I see it happening. The Lord Jesus listening, what shall we do? And the Lord Jesus look at them and answering, this is the work of God. God's work, not your work, God's work, that ye might believe on him whom he has sent. It's not your work, it's not your attitude, it's not something you can present to the Lord, you cannot earn this thing, it's not your work, it's God's work to make you believe in him, to make you passive, to make you a beggar, to make you not work anymore, to make you rely on the Lord Jesus Christ only. So he corrected them, not your work, God's work. Not your good works and law, it's by the gospel, it's by faith only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that offended them. But the Lord Jesus did not spare them. I see in verse 29 that answer, but also in verse 30. They said, therefore, unto what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? And the Lord Jesus spoke about the bread of life, that he is the bread, that Moses gave the manna, that he is the real bread. And the Lord Jesus' congregation know this, the Lord Jesus didn't only speak about the bread, he did not only point to the bread. He did not only give the bread. He said, I am the bread. You have to eat me. And they looked at him to eat him. Of course, in a spiritual sense, that's too much. To eat the Lord Jesus Christ as the true bread of life, to give eternal life. More and more the Lord Jesus offended them. 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It's the Father. He leads, he decides, he chooses, he brings people to me, all of them. And that touches the sovereignty, right? And the whole chapter through, see those same things. 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he's seen the Father. So someone has to be of God. There's no ability in people to believe and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ on his own. It is not by man, by his power, by his insight, by our efforts. It's by grace only. It's God's work. It is God's work. It is God's work only. Not your work. No wonder they said in verse 60, Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said this in heart, saying, who can hear this? Disciples in the widest sense, who can hear this? Who can accept this? This is something we can't stand. And the Lord Jesus went on. He saw those people, he heard them murmuring, and the Lord Jesus did not back off. He did not soften up his message. He just went on and on and pointed out to them the truth. And then 65. That's the climax. And he said, therefore, said it unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. The Lord Jesus spoke that so clearly, so bluntly, not backing off, not softening up the message later on, but trying to please the people. He spoke the truth. From that time, many of his disciples went back, walked no more with him. That's too much. So, let's pause here. Think about it. Those three things. The Lord Jesus was critical of the audience. He said, I know your heart. I know what you're here for. You follow me for the bread. Nobody can come to me. I'm the only name, the only way of salvation. In me only. Don't seek another way. And no, you cannot come to me at all. No strength, no power, no will, but dead sins and trespasses. Let's go over those three points again. And then apply it to the Lord's Supper this morning. Very simple. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows you. He knows me. He knows our very thoughts. What's in the core of our hearts, whether we are really dedicated, if there's a new life or not, we just fake it, pretend, for a Judas, a temporary believer. The Lord knows this, and you need to be aware of that, that he knows your heart. So you have to search your own heart and examine your own heart. Lord, it is possible that I am just a temporary believer. Dare to believe that you may deceive yourself and examine your own heart. The Lord knows it. You can deceive people. You can deceive yourself. You cannot deceive the Lord. And I don't know the hearts. I'm not going to say you, but you can come. You may not come. I'm not God. But the Word, congregation, the Word. Let the Word judge you. Examine your hearts with the open Bible and say, Lord, show me out of the scriptures that this is thy word, this is the truth, and win me over for that. And the kind of Lord's Supper, Christ only. Very simple again. Do you know something of him? Has he become pressed your heart? Has he revealed himself to your soul? Have you seen the Son of Man? Touched him of his garment? Is he the Savior for you? Or have you only been encouraged and have received texts and emotions? If it is the true saving work of the Spirit, it leads you to him. I am the bread of life. He gives eternal life. Nobody else. So all the ways have to be cut off. Think of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, right? More than one left the city of destruction. Many more were traveling towards that gate in the distance, at the horizon, and many never came through the gate. They left, they struggled, they fought, discouraged, they're anchored, and they left, they came back. And so we need to go through the gate, not climb over the wall, through the gate. So has the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to the earth. You know about him. And then the last piece, sovereignty. Does it irritate you? The Lord has chosen the one over the other. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Does it offend you? It offends even God's people sometimes. They're not in the right place. But if you're in the right place, you have nothing to say. Feel dust and ashes, unworthy yourself. So let me show you a little more of that from Romans. For Moses said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Does it offend you? So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showed mercy. And God still doesn't say here, Lord, if it would have depended on me, it would have been a lost case. I did not seek thee, I was running away from thee, but the Lord has turned me himself, it was his work. I agree with that, it's his work, it is not my work at all. And that humble place at the Lord's footstool of being nothing but a rebel, the Lord doing all the work, so the Lord saved his people by grace only. So now you see why many left. Was too critical. You know, the Lord Jesus was very critical in his messages. Some are building on the sand, others on the rock. Some have oil in their vessels, others do not. Some have a bridal garment on, bridal dress, others don't. Some people are broken hearted, other ones are not. Lord Jesus separated people and showed them the difference between the vile and the upright ones. But now we'd like to know, why did Peter stay? How could he accept this? And the other disciples, why did he not leave? The Lord Jesus said to them, asked them, is there also willing to go? And they gave the precious answer, to whom else shall we go? Those are the words of eternal life. Our second thought. Congregation, some people get depressed about this and say, I can't go to a church like that. That's so hard. It makes me cry. Makes me feel down. I can't do that. Sorry, I have to ask for my papers. I'm going to something else. I can't handle this anymore. It hurts me so deeply. It goes so against the grain. It rubs me the wrong way. That's serious business, congregation. Don't look down on those people. Don't condemn them. Don't say you don't believe it. You're so light, so liberal. Don't do that. Empathize with them and say, I have the same feeling sometimes. If the Lord brings me to the place, but I can't leave, why not? He has the words of eternal life. The Lord Jesus asked that question, right? Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Why did he say that? Why that question? To test them, maybe, but more like this, probably, to make them conscious of why. To let the roots go deeper, to know why they cannot leave. That's the verse of eternal life. Let's try to understand that. What the answer? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Did he consider? Some say so. They say he considered a few more options. So let's go over a few more options as well this morning. What else can you do? What else can you choose? What about closing the door behind you and not believing in anything anymore, becoming an atheist? To just say, it's all nonsense. I can't stand this. I hate this religion. I close the Bible. I don't go to any church anymore. It's over. Become an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in anything. Is it an option? Not for Peter. Not for the church. Having no God and living for nothing. And then even love and anger and disappointment, disgust, it's all chemicals in your brains. And forgetting that DNA and RNA in the cell attains so much information that computer scientists are now saying, how can it be? There must be design behind that. Can it be an accident? And then to believe in nothing? Is it an option to be for you to believe in nothing? Lord Jesus asked the question to make people conscious what they truly believe. What about this? Going to a church where God is love and no conversion is needed, with free will. Is it an option? Not for Peter. He loves that doctor of God doing the work. He cannot depend upon self. There's no trust in himself. He says, Lord, if you depend upon me, it's a lost case. He cannot do so. No option. Or some say that sin is something you can overcome yourself. You have to fight harder. You have to choose yourself in free will. Most people have said, not me, I can't. I'm so incapable of serving the Lord. I'm so dead myself. I need a Savior who's doing all the work and 100% of the work. There are many more ways. The Apostle Peter and the disciples have tasted something of God's grace. And that taste takes all the offenses away. And you taste it, that grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have all the answers. You do not have all the answers. You say, to whom else shall we go? Thou is the words of eternal life. How do you know if honey is honey? You open the lid, make a spoon, put it in there, and you taste it. Yes, this is honey. This is not syrup. It's honey. So have you tasted the grace in the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, this is God's word. I taste it. So although I'm sometimes offended, I feel I can't handle this. To whom else shall we go? Thou is the words of eternal life. Let's meditate on that. Words of eternal life. All the words of Christ, the words of the Bible, the words of the prophets, those words, they hurt. Those words, they are like arrows. Those words arrest people like John the Baptist. The axe is close to the root of the tree. Bring forth fruits of repentance. It brings you to the narrow place. Brings you the place of guilt and sin and hell-worthiness. The words of God are honest. But then those words of the Lord. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Have you no money? By need, come. Oh, those words can be so sweet, so special, applied by the Spirit that I come and drink. That I say the words of life, the words of eternal life. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I feel irritated, but it's God's word. It's the presence of the Lord. It has to be this way. It's God's work only, otherwise it will be hopeless for me. Do you know about that? Kind of turmoil within, storms in your heart. Being able to digest it and being critical of the church and the doctrine. And then, but all those words of eternal life, so precious to the soul, have you tasted it? Do you agree with me that all your questions are not answered, and yet in a sense they are? You can leave it in the hands of the Lord. Thou hast the words of eternal life. How important is it to you, the word? Need a mark of grace? Mark of grace? The word. Has the word been applied to the heart? Is the deed to you more than honey, honeycomb to the soul? Words of eternal life, the sweetest of it, not only bitterness, sweetness. The word of God has never been sweet to you this day in your pew next week. Then you say yes. Those words of eternal life, I have tasted. I've seen salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ only. It's God's work, not my work. Words of eternal life. Life. Peter, the apostles, Acts of Judas, and all God's children know what death is. Sin kills them, and they're in the midst of it, and they cannot pop out of it. They cannot quicken themselves. Such a hopeless case. Death, absolute death, physical death, spiritual death, eternal death, and they cannot work themselves out of that. It's so impossible. It surrounds its darkness and impossibilities. Then opening the Bible, Lord applies the word, eternal life. I am the life, the resurrection, the life, finding life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know when that happens? Then you know about it. You know about the power of the word, the power of God through salvation. And let me insert this. The difference is among God's people. Some more knowledge and insight than others have. Let me go to the little ones. Those little ones, like Peter, what did he understand of the death of Christ? Behind me, Satan. He was offensive in his talk. He said it would never happen to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew little of the sacrifice of Christ, of his high priestly work. He was confused about him being the king, but he knew something about him being the prophet. And so there are God's people, and they have little insight in the blood. Little insight into the fact that Christ is the King. But all those invitations, the words, the encouragements of the Bible, and the Lord Jesus himself says, come to the waters, come to me, believe in me, you'll be saved. The sweetness of that congregation, that's also faith in Christ. The words of eternal life, what did Peter hear? I am the good shepherd. The thing of yourself, do you know about that? I am the good shepherd, willing to follow. I'm one of the sheep. The good shepherd's giving his life for the sheep, loving his sheep. I am the true vine, having no life in yourself, but in the vine Jesus Christ, receiving the sap and the energy from him, the strength, the life out of him. I am the way. There's no other way, right? All those roads closed off. All the impossibilities on all sides. And then finding that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know about that. It does not happen in the corner. That happens consciously. It happens truly to the heart. I am the life. I am the resurrection. But an only comfort in life and death. I was thinking about Ruth. You know Ruth? She heard from Naomi how precious the Lord's service was. She wanted to go with her. I'll read it to you. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go, to return into your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you. He has dealt with me, the dead, and with me. So Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go back. I have no life myself. You cannot prosper with me. Go back. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. The roof clave unto her. What was that? Why did she not leave and said, makes sense, I have to go back to Moab? She couldn't. Why not? And Ruth said, stop this, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and thou lodgest, I will lodge. Why? Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. When thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So, God. That Savior, that salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, that drew her back to Israel. And she left with Naomi. The Lord made it well with her. Verse of eternal life, one more thing. How can Christ be the true bread and give eternal life? You know this. May the Lord reveal it again, or reveal to the heart, by his death. He had to die for that. Christ gave life by dying. He offered his life on the cross, healed up the ghost, gave the Spirit in the hands of his Father. He died voluntarily, willingly, powerfully. Nobody took it. He gave it for the salvation of his entire church to pay the price. And that death is exemplified next Sunday in the bread, in the broken bread and the wine. The Lord saying, this is my body that's broken for you. Well, if you have no life in yourself, no light yourself, and seek life in another, he's the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. This week of preparation, ask the Lord to make it well. Ask the Lord, thou hast been so critical of those people. In John 6, Lord, be honest with me. As for honesty, for yourself too, that you won't deceive yourself. But also, keep this in mind, you will never qualify for grace. It's only through the one you need to eat, not only to see from a distance, not only to hear about, but to eat. To eat the flesh, to apprehend, to receive him, to taste him, to touch him, to believe in him. You need to be attached to him. Seek your salvation only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you feel offended about election, congregation, bow your knees and say, Lord, may I receive a taste of thy grace and experience that lively faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, that answers, that takes away so many questions. As God's children, they may have had times too that they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? And they struggled for a while and rebelled for a while. And the Lord brought them to that place that the Lord showed them, I can leave you alone. You have no rights. You have no rights. I can just condemn you forever. And they had to agree with that. And the Lord showed his salvation. Now it's all well again. So a question for you. Will you also go away? What's your answer? Amen. Almighty Lord, that knows the hearts of the audience, of the preacher, of all of us, O Lord, if we stray or wrong, lead us into everlasting, set us straight, Lord, give the unction of thy Spirit also to sinners. Also make it more clear, also for thy people to seek salvation only in the bread of life, to have death in self and life in another. Lord, that knows the rebellious hearts, knows them down, depressed about those things, hard to swallow it. Lord, win them over by thy sweet gospel, so they may yet stay and say, yes, it is not something my flesh likes. My spirit says, yes, it's life, it's bread of life. Graciously forgive all the shortcomings. The Lord be with us this afternoon and tonight. Bring us safely back home to church. Back home and also to church again. Maybe together worship thee and seek thee, and do not stay away from thee, from us, Lord. In Jesus' name alone, amen.